During the months of September and October, we are highlighting the work of Hiking My Feelings in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded in 2018 as a way to address personal trauma, Hiking My Feelings has been on a mission to improve community health by creating opportunities for people to experience the healing power of nature. Their programs and events cultivate a judgment-free space where transformational healing is possible. They introduce people to mindfulness and the healing power of nature, and the results are lasting improvements to mental, physical, and spiritual health.
With a variety of events, programs, and retreats, Hiking My Feelings is more than learning how to set up a tent. It is wilderness wellness. Through guided self-discovery exercises, in-the-field education, physical movement, and storytelling, they help to heal and transform our relationship to self, so that we can show up more powerfully in our communities.
Through advocating for outdoor exposure and a deeper connection to nature through mindfulness, Hiking My Feelings is working to help multitudes through their mission. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Hiking My Feelings this September and October. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
So what is your motivation factor when it comes to food? Like, how motivated do you feel by food?
Food is, I mean, it's a motivating factor a lot, mm-hmm. right? How motivated am I by, I'd say pretty motivated, at least 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 10, I will.
On the Pavlovian scale.
Exactly, exactly. Though I don't know that my personality changes when I'm hungry. Like, hangry, I can certainly get there, but that's only in, like, a really extreme case. You know what I mean? Like, if it has been many, many, many hours past when I probably should have eaten.
Sure.
And I'm really feeling it, that's the only time hangry really comes in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, if there's an event and there's food, I'm probably more likely to go to that event.
Sure.
What about you? How motivated by food are you?
I mean, I'd say fairly motivated. I feel like especially since you and I can relate to this, going on separate fitness journeys in the last year or two. And when you track your calories and you're like, oh, I only have that many at the end of the day. And I'm mad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm mad.
Well, that happens when you're like cutting or in maintenance or something like that.
But I do feel like food is like a reward. And I don't mean that like I do a little something and I get some food. I mean, like, I have had a rough day, or this is my cheat day, and I'm going to eat the filthiest, most disgustingly delicious thing I can.
Totally.
You know, so I
totally
feel like
that
is absolutely like 1000% a motivator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I worked all day and I only had coffee with protein in it. Okay, well, now I'm going whole hog on whatever I'm eating for dinner, you
Great.
Know. So
I'm curious. Let's get specific. What food would probably make you move the fastest?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And
I
it
mean,
could be a variety of
sure,
circumstances, but if you're like, there's a this waiting at the end of it for me.
Sure. It's the like greasy, super flavorful, mm-hmm. like pizza, like buffalo chicken pizza, or like
poutine.
A really, oh my God, poutine.
Is the
like
thing, is that the thing that would
fat,
make you move the fastest?
Fat burger with like, you know, that sort of stuff. French
okay,
fries.
Okay, okay.
Loaded tater tots. It's probably poutine, because I think poutine is all of those things.
It's true. It is all of those things. I'm trying to think what food I think, God, and this is, I've said this before. It's such a simple answer though. Chips and salsa will get me moving faster than I think anybody else, because it's
not
just.
Not even Jonathan Bailey can compete.
Not even. No, I think I would probably move faster, especially if it's free chips and salsa. Excuse me. If
I
you're
really
saying
wanted you to
free
say,
chips and salsa,
especially if it was Jonathan Bailey holding chips and salsa.
Stop. That's we're getting into.
I have to leave.
We're getting into after dark fantasies now.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done. and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land also known as Olympic National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Lower Elwha, Clallam, Jamestown Skollam, Port Gamble Skollam, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Quileute, and Macaw people.
Speaking of food, the first thing we did on this morning was wake up and eat breakfast.
Yeah, after disappointing lack of French fries McDonald's.
It was so disappointing, mm-hmm. But we were like, you know what we're going to do today?
We're going to make up for it.
We're going to make up for it. Mm-hmm. We'll go back there at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. But what we were very excited about this second morning in Olympic mm-hmm. National Park after hiking the hellish Mount Eleanor, the day before mm-hmm. was that we didn't have to drive very far today to get to the trailhead. It was less than 20 minutes. And anytime you go anywhere in Olympic National Park, all you're doing is driving.
Yeah.
Hours at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. It just really depends on where you're at and what you have as far as accommodations go. So we did not have a 2-hour drive, as Dusty said, a mere moments away. So that gave us more time to kind of sleep in, even though our plan was to still hike early. So we get our car packed. We're all set for the day with lunches and food in our backpacks and full bladders, not in our body, but those in our bags. And we head in the car through downtown Port Angeles and essentially turn off the main road and end up on the road that would take us into the park.
We take a right at the Port Angeles Visitor Center, which we visited later this day.
So let's talk about Hurricane Ridge in 2023. So this road would have taken us up to Hurricane Ridge, which I have driven before when I was in Olympic in 2015. It is an incredible roadway up. It has a feeling very similar to, in some parts, glaciers going to the Sun Road. There's a lot of like grandeur here. But in 2023, the lodge and inn that were up on Hurricane Ridge had burned down literally about a month before we were to arrive in the park. So because there were no services here at this point, there weren't bathrooms, they hadn't planned to bring in like porta-johns or anything of that nature just yet, Hurricane Ridge itself was closed. And they were doing work and they were trying to assess the fire and trying to kind of clear what it was left of the lodge and start whatever they were going to kind of get moving on a new lodge. It was set to reopen as a viewpoint only literally right after our visit, but that we only knew that while we were on the trip.
That's when that announcement came out.
I think this morning I was like, oh, I guess we could have driven up there if we were in Port Angeles for another day. But this was our last day in Port Angeles, and then we were moving to another part of the park.
So we were nervous about parking because we're always nervous about parking. But particularly this day, we were nervous because everybody had said the parking lot that you're trying to go to do this hike that you wanted to do, that we wanted to do this day, had a small parking lot that filled up quick.
Right.
So we get to an area on the road where we see a ranger station for Hurricane Ridge. Rather than going straight through, we turn right and head to the parking lot to get on this trailhead. However, when we arrive, there is one parking spot, therefore, score.
Yeah. There was like another kind of like ancillary lot we could have probably used if we were in a pinch that was there, but we didn't have to deal with that. For context, we are hiking the Klahani Ridge hike, essentially. It is an incredibly epic hike that allowed us to get to Hurricane Ridge without using the road. But it meant we were going to have a lot of elevation to gain here. So after parking, we definitely took our time to stretch and prepare our bodies.
Yes. So Klahani Ridge is something that is often hiked to from Hurricane Rich. Mm-hmm. So if Hurricane Rich had been open, we probably would have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason you do that is because along Klahani Ridge, you get this unmatched, incomparable view of the Olympic Mountains. The Olympics look amazing from here, and they're literally like right out in front of you. Mm-hmm. It is a view that people hike to see.
Yeah.
So because Hurricane Ridge was closed, we were going to have to get to Hurricane Ridge a different way. So what was suggested to us was to actually hike to Lake Angeles, then hike from there up onto Klahani Ridge, and then take Heather Park Trail all the way back to make it a big loop, mm-hmm. which is what we did. And this episode takes us to the first half of the hike. So we set off on what is the first leg of the trail, which is the Lake Angeles trailhead.
So this is where we were recommended to go clockwise rather than counterclockwise on the trail. So this was from a few sources, including our friend Becky Lomax, friend of the podcast, who recommended that as our route.
And also anyone that we talked to about this said, do this clockwise and not counterclockwise.
And for very, very good reason.
Right. So we set off on the trail immediately incline. Yeah. And it's no joke. Now, I will say at this point, this incline, while it was real, did not feel as tough as the incline from yesterday.
No.
On Mount Eleanor.
It's also picturesque as hell because you feel like you're in the movies here because you are in a lowland forest and it is giant trees. It's old growth branches that are just hovering in the air, boulders, moss.
It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
And we're on like very soft earth here. It's like forest stuff, essentially this whole initial first leg. The trail itself continues to climb up and it's not really until the end of this trail that we ever have decline. So the incline here is not a joke at all.
Right.
And this is where, aside from our trip to Rainier, we were going to gain a lot of incline in the Pacific Northwest.
So this forest that we're hiking through, incredible, gorgeous, beautiful, picturesque, and it really is at every point. And then we sort of get to a little deeper into the forest and it's, I guess, a little further away from water. So there's not like as much moss or as much of that sort of like
forest grandeur,
that stuff. So it's getting a little more brown, typical forest looking, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. But there are switchbacks that we have to go up. And these are long, stretchy switchbacks.
Like, where it almost doesn't feel like it's going to be a switchback. And then all of a sudden it's like you're turning a corner here.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first portion of this hike is in between two ridges. So it's not a valley, though looking at a map, it could be perceived as a valley and look very flat, but it continues to go up.
At one point, it does start to get pretty steep. And this is a section where we are climbing up from in between the ridges to the top of the ridge on the left. Neither of these ridges has a proper name or one that we could discover. We have a steep grunt up more switchbacks. They're steep and grunty, and we're already feeling it, especially because our legs, our calves from yesterday, from when we hiked Mount Eleanor, I think mine were still screaming even after stretching.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then next up on the trail, we crest over this ridge that we were climbing up. Now, all of this is still feeling covered in trees, so we don't really get any kind of view in this moment. But the incline subsides for like the tiniest bit and becomes flat. It feels great, and the flatness is super welcomed. And while it is flatter, it's more of a slight decline here rather than a totally flat.
Sure. So as soon as we catch a break, the trail gives us, surprise, surprise, more incline. And that should be the tagline for the trail right there.
More incline.
More incline. Because we're always going to be climbing up until really the end of our time on this entire loop here. The next bit of incline does bring us to another ridge. And this ridge is also inclining the mountain. To get to the ridge is inclining. Everything is inclining.
So after about a half a mile up, this third ridge, things finally begin to even out. We get some relative flatness, and just like before, the flatness is slightly inclined. So for the next 2 miles, we are on this flat bit of trail through the forest that eventually gives way to some slight decline, and it is a big relief.
So we knew this trail was going to be an incredible amount of incline. The word that could sponsor this episode, as I think we've said it at least 20 times already.
What word is that?
Incline.
Yeah, that's right. So at the top end of the hike here, we're going to be climbing 4,200 feet. We're gaining a lot of it right now. Now, here's the deal about this trail. In total, this day, because we knew that this was going to be a big epic hike day, to do this loop, it is a 12.2-mile loop. So they say.
Right.
We're in the first quarter of this trail right now.
Yeah.
And it's tough, but we finally... finally reach a juncture point. And to the right, we could continue on the trail.
Or to the left, we could go over to Lake Angeles. And that is what we decided to do in the briefest of lovely jaunts. And with that, let's take our first break. As the leaves begin to change and we leave the heat of summer behind, it's time to plot some new adventures in some new places.
Maybe it's time to visit a national park like Glacier, Yellowstone, or Grand Teton before the parks become snowbound.
Or maybe it's a great time to take a road trip through New England or along historic Route 66.
Or maybe it's finally time to dust off your passport and head abroad to Europe, South America, Asia, and beyond.
With so many options of where to go, it's good to know that there's one place you can always turn to.
From hikes to hotels to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they're writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library. Head to our show notes to check it out and see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have lots of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings may take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides have you covered.
Head to moon.com and use code GAZE24 at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel. Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
All right, so we are playing drop-in. We played a lot of this on this trail this day. Mm-hmm. And so the way drop-in works is you basically take a phrase or a title or a name and you drop it inside of another phrase, title, or name. So, for instance, if I were to say, like, the name of this actress from Steel Magnolias and...
Lincoln and Forrest Gump
dropped in a phrase for starting the productivity of something, the answer would be, get the ball down the Sally field.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's right. How drop-in works.
Right.
You're dropping one thing inside of another, and they're, like, sharing a word.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, Mike, I have quite a few.
I know. You intimidated
me.
So
why don't we... I'll start with one of mine.
Great.
Ready? Here we go. This musical, often done in high schools, set in ancient Greece, and which gives us the song Comedy Tonight, and is, like, all the characters are Greek, and it's dumb musical comedy, with this phrase for a town hall meeting where people can just walk up to a mic and ask questions, dropped in.
What is a funny thing happened on the way to the open forum?
Yes.
Okay.
That was it.
There it is.
Amazing.
That was a lot.
Great.
I've never seen that musical, actually.
It's not my favorite. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. So this phrase that means to wrap up a tale you might be telling with this actor dropped into the name of this actor who currently stars in Only Murders in the Building.
Okay.
Sorry, I phrased it a little differently from how you did.
What is it, Martin? Keep it short?
No. So to wrap...
Keep it Martin short?
What is Martin, make a long story short?
Oh, I got it. Yeah. I got it. I see.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, great. Yours is... A Tennessee Williams play that features Brick and Maggie, where she screams like, these no-neck monsters won't leave me alone.
Okay.
Dropped inside of this musical about a small town in Onatevka featuring Tevya and his daughters. The play is dropped inside of the musical.
I'm going to get chastised because I think I'm wrong with the play, but... Fiddler on the Glass Menagerie Roof?
Nope. Nope.
No, I know.
This is Maggie, who is referred to as Maggie, this household animal, not a dog.
Oh.
Try again.
Got it. Glass Menagerie is not Tennessee Williams, is it?
Oh, it is, though. Job, gal.
What is Fiddler on the... Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
That's right. Okay.
Right. Great.
Great.
All right. This phrase that means to kind of grin and bear it dropped into this phrase that is a descriptor for Superman's quickness.
What is faster than a speeding bite the bullet?
Correct. Excellent. Great.
Okay. Here's another one from me.
Dusty, one Correct. Of your hosts.
Me. This one season television show on MTV that gave us Claire Danes with this iconic movie dropped in where we get this iconic speech. Because Chevy didn't make a 327 in 55. The 327 didn't come out till 62, and it wasn't offered in the Bel Air with a four-barrel carb till 64. However, in 1964, the correct ignition timing would be 4 degrees before top dead center.
What is...
MTV show.
Oh, that's right. What is My Cousin Vinny's So-Called Life?
That is correct.
There it is.
All right. Beautiful.
And my last one.
Great.
This 1950s queen of comedy who starred in a show with her husband with the phrase to be on top of something dropped in.
What is Lucille on the Ball?
There you go. And that's dropping.
So now we're at Lake Angeles, and Lake Angeles is a very famous lake, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful view here.
It's not that big, but there is like a little island in the middle of it.
Yeah, it still felt largest.
Yeah, large-ish. I mean, it's not like a puddle.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a full-size lake.
Yeah.
But we take a moment here, and we notice that it's definitely sunnier.
Well, we were basically in tree line the entire time till this point.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of were like, do we need to put sunblock on? And I was like, no, I don't think so. So here, though, it was 9 o'clock or later, and it was like, okay, it's time to actually put this on. So after taking some time at the lake and enjoying this, there is a ridge that's on the other side of the lake. And based off of the map, that's probably what we were going to need to do. We were kind of like making predictions here about where we were heading. And that seemed like the most logical space to have.
And this ridge is lofted high into the air.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Up above.
Far in the distance. Yes.
So we head to the second leg of this hike, which is up to the ridge.
So after turning around here at the lake, we go back to the juncture of the main trail and continue on the trail there. Immediately, surprise, surprise, the incline is back because it is the gift that this trail keeps on giving.
And now we are officially on the Klahani Ridge Trail here at this part of the hike, which again is incline. So this is a very steep grunt,
yeah,
like a totally unexpectedly steep grunt. And we're now getting a little bit of view over to the right. It's starting to come up as we're like getting above the tree line.
And we can also see the lake now from above,
yeah,
which is kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah. Like the lake is to the left. There's other jokers to the right.
Yep.
Yep.
But
other views on the right. Mm-hmm. And after about a half a mile, we get to what feels like a saddle.
Yeah.
There's a few switchbacks we had to do along up here,
yep,
but they weren't so long,
no,
but they were steep.
Steep is the name of the game here,
steep,
along with incline. So much so that the incline starts to even a bit here. And we run into this couple that has turned back from the hike. I think we could see them ahead of us going up, or they passed us, and they have turned around. And
it's
looks
apparently
like she's
because
a little bit on the scared end of things.
She is. And he explained that they were turning around because she did have a fear of animals.
Right.
I'm curious if it was him who had the fear of animals or was sort of projecting it elsewhere,
sure,
so that it didn't seem like he was the one who was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho,
join us on our new podcast where we psychoanalyze people we meet on the trail.
That's right. Oh, all day long.
Yeah.
All day long.
That's in the After Dark series.
That's right.
That's behind our paywall.
So after about a mile and some change, we arrive at the ridge above Lake Angeles. And this, again, is Klahani Ridge, or part of it, the Klahani Ridge Trail. We take a moment to look down at the lake, and we can literally see the boulder that we were standing on, and we still see some folks hanging out by the island because there's still that island in the middle of it, and we can see from
accessing
up above
the water here when we were at the lake.
Mm-hmm. It was a really cool photo moment
because
you can be at lake level and see it from there, and then you can literally get on top of it and see it from above.
Yeah. It's like kind of like doing Grinnell, the Grinnell Overlook.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then
Glacier
seeing
National
Grinnell
Park
from down below.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So from here, we continue on to the third leg of this journey. In what direction?
Up.
Of course, up.
Yep.
You know, that would be the less sad version of that Pixar film.
Yes, exactly. So we'll call this third leg on the Klahani Ridge.
Great. We're now in much more open fields here. And there are some alpine flowers. Again, we're still experiencing incline.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I see, I'm up ahead, surprise, and I see a marmot who is hiding in his burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had popped out and then he popped right back in.
So something that I love about this trail generally, and I'm talking about the whole thing, is that this is one of those that feels like seven realms.
Oh, truly.
And so we had left the first realm, which
like
was the forest,
elven forest.
The elfin forest, made it to the second realm, which was the lake, and then made it up like the side of the lake to the top of it. And now we're in another realm, which is just alpine flowers, which alpine flowers grow in rock. So it's like rock and flowers happening all at the same time.
Beautiful is what it was.
It was beautiful.
After we go through the field, we work back toward the ridge. It's still more open here. And this is where we see a hiker that's coming down from having finished the trail. And we asked him at this point if we were getting close to the juncture of Hurricane Ridge. And he tells us that we still have quite a ways to go. It's
and
always
is,
a disappointing question when you're being answered.
It is. Our plan was to, because Klahani Ridge is a long trail, but at one point there is this intersection, this T intersection, mm-hmm. that happens with another trail called the Hurricane Ridge Trail. And if we would have taken the road before all the way up to Hurricane Ridge to like see the view from there and then get to Klahani Ridge from there, we would have taken this trail.
Right. I think if we wanted to do that trail, correct me if I'm wrong, it was like an additional 6 miles.
It was an additional 3 miles.
And 3 back.
Correct.
Yeah.
What we did decide to do, though, is that we were going to have lunch at that juncture point because mm-hmm. it kind of serves as the halfway mark for this loop that we were doing. Mm-hmm. So we're headed up. And we finally get to see the view of the Olympics, which comes into our view from the left. And it is so stunning.
Yeah.
The Olympic mountains are so tall. It's like they're so much taller than you. They're out in the distance. And it's not like there's like one peak that's really tall.
No, they're clustered together.
They're all clustered together and they're so tall.
This is part of the reason, just like in Big Bend, while you do these kind of trails, because these are like the most stunning picturesque viewpoints that you could have.
Yeah.
And so again, this is a major reason that people hike this. I mean, aside from the fact, the endurance. And we did see at least one or two trail runners finishing up at the beginning or starting, and good for you if this is, that's your journey.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
As we start to continue down the trail more, we begin to see some of our first snow fields, and we have to kind of try to navigate around the snow to find the trail itself.
So we find one path and it looks like a trail and we follow it a little bit, but then it leads to a cliff, literally. And we were like, oh, well, we can't go this way. Okay.
No.
Now, ridge hiking means like you might be like up and around and over.
Yeah.
Like on one or at the other side of the ridge, depending. Mm-hmm. And we got led to a cliff and went, okay, we got to turn around.
Yeah.
So we turned around and then we literally couldn't find the trail anywhere.
Well, this was also difficult because it was all kind of scree up here. There were all these shrubs and then there was snow. So it was like, this has to be the way we're going, but the clarity was gone. The rest of the trail isn't really marked. It's like juncture points to give you an idea.
Yeah.
But there's no blazes really that you're
seeing.
There's
no blazes other than like there were signs at the juncture points.
Right, right. This is a little perplexing here. And I think it didn't make me nervous, but I was just like frustrated because it had been so easy up until this point.
And with that, let's take our next break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Narcotica paraphernalia.
Narcotica paraphernalia. We came up with this name while here. I don't know if you'll know. Most of the time, the queens that are presented in each episode, we literally came up with that name while hiking in this park.
Yep.
Doesn't mean we necessarily came up with it on this hike, but while we were hiking this park, because we have our queens on our big long list.
That was a very Irish take there.
We have our queens on our very long list, and they're sorted by national park. Mm-hmm. How about
and
that?
And the in-between times. That was beautiful.
That's right. Uh-huh. And we have, and if things get sorted into houses, like we have the House of Life,
sure.
Olivia Life. I don't know who her daughters are at this time.
Ray of Life?
Ray.
No, I'm sorry.
No, Ray of Life. Ray of Life. So her name is Ray of.
Ray of.
Ray of Life.
It's like you're saying rave, but really long, Ray of.
But I'm Southern. A Ray of. That's it.
Yep.
So anyway, narcotica paraphernalia is something we came up with here in Olympic. I don't know what brought us to narcotica paraphernalia. I don't remember the context of the conversation, but this is the queen we came up with.
Well, I think it was like talking about
drugs.
No, it was talking about like kids' names like Nicolette and how Nicolette sounds.
Oh. Kind like, of like a... Like a gum.
Like a gum one might That's true for right. smoking cessation. Oh, yeah.
Like how names for medications sound like names. Like SNL did that sketch where they had like a Breva and
Allegra.
Allegra. Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So I think that's our inroad here into narcotica.
I see. So see, to me, narcotica paraphernalia is... She's a goth queen.
I think absolutely.
Uh-huh. She is a full-on goth queen.
Yeah, I think, but it's like, it's like a darkness that none that have walked the earth have seen. Mm-hmm. Like, that is truly who she is. I feel like there's a lot of neon happening in this act.
Oh, I like that.
And I feel like while she may be in black, there's also some reflective pieces. Like, silver is a consistent in her goth wear because the neon reflects off it really cool on her costumes.
Oh, I like that. I like silver.
I'm thinking about the production value here.
She seems very akin to Gottmik, who is a queen that already exists.
Yes.
Yeah, Narcotica paraphernalia. I feel like she's got original music and that it's very emo and it's very sort of like, I feel like she is of the time of live journals and the sort of, you know, the online emo, a kind of that time in...
You're really taking out a key demographic for us right now.
Well, that time in, I guess, media or culture where you had one personality out in the world and then you went and built this other personality. Not that people don't build other versions of themselves online now, but I feel like this original way was so like dark and gloomy and like tortured and like,
that's a good word to describe.
Yeah. Remember that, you know, when people would put up like vague song lyrics as like a way message on AIM. It's like,
Or like when my roommate broke up with his girlfriend or vice versa and his MySpace song was Nothing Compares to You.
Oh my God. You did not tell me that.
He was in it, and that is the right song to play. We are tangential over here.
Well,
but coming back to Narcotica, yes, I do feel like it is lyrics inspired by sad live journal posts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her very much. So original music, that's her sort of like approach to it.
And what is her, I almost said paraphernalia, what is her merch?
I think her merch is like an embroidered patch that comes with a safety pin in it.
Sure.
But I don't know what the embroidered patch says. Maybe it has some sort of like illegal say no to drugs or something like it, like on it. I don't know. I don't know. The DARE program. I don't know. I don't know. But it's like making fun of that kind of campaign.
Sure.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, is
Narcotica paraphernalia. So we do find the trail.
We do finally find the
and
trail.
It was the cliff.
It was the cliff.
we did not go far enough because I think it definitely concerned us because, again, it had all but disappeared. We're on Scree and there wasn't any sort of like really worn path that we could kind of discern. So as we go down the trail, this is the first time it feels like one might imagine a ridge trail to feel like. It is up and down and up and down.
And we knew that the juncture for the Hurricane Ridge Trail was essentially at halfway, if not a little bit before halfway. Mm-hmm. But the pedometer tells us that we have already gone 6.2 miles, which... where like either the map is wrong or the pedometer's wrong and the pedometer's fairly consistent.
Right.
So we weren't sure how much further the actual
juncture was going to be.
Trail juncture was going to be.
Or if we had missed it, like somehow, you know?
Right.
So the plan was to do lunch at the juncture, but we are really feeling hungry at this point. We had climbed a lot of elevation in 6 miles. So we just decided that we weren't going to wait for the juncture to eat. We're going to find a rock that's on this very exposed trail on the ridge of a mountain, basically. There's drop-offs on either side. So
there are.
Let's find a safe spot.
But I would say they weren't straight drop-offs.
They weren't sheer.
They were sloped.
But still.
Yeah.
Also, like, a lot of loose rock up here.
So we sit down and we do lunch, and it's lovely. And we sit and just look straight at the Olympics the whole time.
It was, like, a perfect lunch spot.
Great view to take in. So we're like, all right, we gotta keep going. We've got way more of this trail to do, especially if we're not even at the halfway point. We do enjoy our lovely lunch break. And then we gear back up and we keep going for about another mile. Now, mm-hmm. as we're walking, we look off to the right. And it's just like a beautiful sweeping valley with peaks on the left, like Angeles and things over on the right. Mm-hmm. And there's this really like beautiful green side of the valley, like leading up to the peaks that we see. Mm-hmm. And then crossing what seems like a wall on this ridge of peaks looks to be a trail.
Right.
That is sort of crossing through the center of it. And then way off in the distance goes up a whole bunch of switchbacks to a saddle. And so we look over at it and we're like, do you think we're going over there? Like, surely not. Like, I think we're going to go around this. We both were like, no, that looks like something else.
Yeah.
That looks like another trail. Yeah. That's not our trail.
No, can't be.
So we just sort of move on from that.
Mm-hmm. During this time, we see a trail runner and another hiker who still had not seen the juncture. And we had asked them, have you come upon it? And they were like, no.
So we continue hiking and we're hiking for even longer now. I look down at the pedometer and it says 7.2. Mm-hmm. So we are well over the halfway mark at this right. point. And then we look up and then coming up from the Hurricane Ridge Trail were some hikers. So we had finally spotted the juncture. Okay, so let's put these sections on the Karen Stone sure. scale. And then at the end of next episode, we will put the entire loop on the Karen Stone scale. So Lake Angeles.
So like the trail. Forested section up
the
to Lake Angeles?
The forested section up to Lake Angeles.
That was a pretty good heft. I'm going to say that's like a 7 or an 8 for me. Like
I was going to say 7.
Yeah.
So we're looking at 15 out yeah. of 20 Karen Stones.
Yeah.
Definitely the incline.
Yeah.
I do have to say the trail itself wasn't rocks.
No.
It was
no.
like flat soft earth. Forest, yep. soft mm-hmm. earth, but the incline was rough.
Yeah. Okay. Not as bad as Eleanor, but
no.
rough.
What about Lake Angeles? What about like the first, what we'll say is, well, we hiked the entire Klahani Ridge Trail.
Right.
From the bottom of Lake Angeles all the way up to the juncture point mm-hmm. on Klahani Ridge for the Hurricane Ridge right. Trail. What would we give that hike?
So the rest of it, kind of like
that
Angeles
we did
up.
In this episode.
I guess Lake Angeles is sort of like our quarter mark a little before it. I would say you're doing a lot there.
Yeah. I'm going to go 8.5.
Yeah.
I might even, you know what? No, I'm going to go to 9. See, it was tough. It was tough.
My only reservation is it felt less incline driven than the first part. Like, I feel like, yes, we were still gaining, but it was easier to gain somehow.
I just feel like the grunt up to the top of Lake Angeles is tough. And then from there, it's smoother sailing.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But
that's
I do feel like it's, I think it's tough enough to warrant a 9.
So I'm not going that high, but I will say an 8.
An 8.
Because you're definitely, you have more footfall to pay attention to here on this leg of the trail. And you're starting to get more rocks on the trail. There's a lot more like impediments to your journeying.
So 17 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Great.
So far on this Klahani Ridge Trail loop.
Yeah. And with that, let's end this episode like we end all of our full length episodes with some Jeopardy style trivia.
All right, Mike.
Why don't you start today?
Great idea.
A great idea.
So here we go. So this is inspired by that moment when we were standing there on the Klahani Ridge Trail mm-hmm. right after we'd eaten lunch and we look off into the distance and we see that long trail that goes mm-hmm. up to the switchbacks mm-hmm. that we were like, oh, surely not.
Mm-hmm.
So this surely not has inspired this category. Oh. Surely
Hello
not
again, girl.
Is a drag character who runs into all of her drag friends in town. And so each answer is a drag queen name and
okay.
you're going to get clues about that name based on what they're doing and how the clue describes them.
Okay.
So each answer is a friend of Shirley Knott's that she runs into.
Okay.
But they are each a drag name.
Okay.
And they all have kind of first names like Shirley.
Okay.
Or like of that ilk.
Okay.
So for 100, say okay again.
Okay. Incline.
For 100. Shirley Knott strolled through the town square, right through the downtown of Ravenwood, when she heard a melody on the breeze. It was this friend who was with their ensemble, blessing the passersby with some holiday tunes. So what
is
this friend's
Holly
name?
Holly Bush?
Not Holly Bush. Think about what they're doing.
Who is Holly Singer?
Not Holly Singer.
Who is Carol Singer?
There you go.
There
Who
we
is
go.
Carol Singer?
Got it.
Okay, great. For 200. Shirley Knott strolled through the fabric store, Lil Joanne's Fabrics, and ran into this functional, durable friend of hers who is softer than rayon, more sleek than cotton, and more durable than silk.
Who is polyurethane? No. Who is polyester?
That's
blend?
It. Oh. Polyester. Okay. Correct. So she ran into polyester, though.
Polyurethane.
She would be at the hardware store.
She would be.
Right. Mm-hmm. So her name could have been Polly Blend, mm-hmm. but that's her last name. Esther's her middle name. Got so it. Polyester, Polly Blend, Polyester Blend, all of those are correct.
Great.
So for 300, Shirley ended up at the diner, looking in the cabinet where they keep the cakes, and ran into this friend of hers, who's always inquiring about whether or not Shirley would want some cake, pie, or ice cream.
Who is Sarah Dessert?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Good job. And for 400, Shirley Knott strolled into the local bookstore, hoping to fall down a rabbit hole of inspiration when she ran into this friend, a charming blonde gal with a blue dress, who always asks Shirley about what pills she should take. She's such a trip.
Who is Alison Wonderland?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Alison Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And for 500, I'm so glad you're getting these. Mm-hmm. Shirley couldn't go home until she made a trip to the drugstore to get something for her delicate locks when she ran into this friend of hers on the follicle care aisle. This friend of Shirley's is so soft. She's always letting others go first. And her first name is inspired by Susan Lucci's character from All My Children.
I am at a loss here.
Well, what's Susan Lucci's character's name? Her name was Erica Kane.
Okay.
So that's her first name.
Got it.
And she's
take my gay card.
It's you... okay. No. That's niche, like upper committee level gays.
Oh, okay.
Know about that. So Erica is mm-hmm. the first name. Mm-hmm. She's always letting something else go first because she goes second. What's the thing you get in the hair care aisle that you put on?
Oh, conditioner. Okay. Erica conditioner.
There you go. So her name is Erica Dishoner.
Erica Dishoner.
That's it.
Or it could be Eric Additioner.
You could, if it were, a drag mask king. Perhaps. Yeah. Maybe, who knows what kind of persona that drag character takes.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like I was being thrown because air conditioner sounds like air conditioner.
It does. Oh, that's funny. Maybe we put it in there as a reference to air conditioner. I read it as a reference to hair conditioner.
Oh.
All of those are from our drag list.
Yeah. Okay.
Which we have over 3,000 names on this list at this point in time. So
just toss.
Indeed.
All right. So my Jeopardy is called Angelus. So like for Lake Angeles.
Oh. And is, so this is a category all about the movie City of Angels starring Meg Ryan?
No. It's all about demons in world religions.
Oh, so mm-hmm. not Meg Ryan.
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. Lord, help me.
All right. You'll be okay because I'm giving you clues to help you. That's how this game works. For 100. In Hinduism, Lord Rama's wife, Sita, is abducted by this demon king, the main antagonist in the Ramayana, whose name sounds like something the gossip blogs would throw together to announce the power couple of Raven Simone and Anna Wintour just by using their first names. So you're going to give me...
Who is Ravanana?
I'll accept. Who's Ravana?
Ravana.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
Good. So good job. Do you see how this is going to work?
They're calling us James.
In the gossip blogs.
Yep.
That's
yep, I get it. I like
yeah,
that.
Okay, great. For 200, in Islam, these demons of the desert are thought to be made of fire or smoke and are often confused with this wish-granting spirit from a lamp, which makes sense because their names are not that far off. The slight difference may be in that the demon's name we are looking for is also pronounced like that of a juniper berry-based alcohol.
What is Jenny?
What is Jin? J-I-N-N.
Is that the name of the spirit,
Jin? Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought you said it was like a combination of Jin and Genie.
No, I gave you two separate clues. That it was similar to the name Genie, but
I didn't
give you that.
But then what is Jin?
What is Jin?
I knew
it's what I'm
Jin.
Drinking right now. All right, for 300, this Lord of Death in Tibetan Buddhism has a lot of control over your soul in the afterlife and whether or not you achieve nirvana. His name is similar to an orange-based root vegetable that are often served candy at Thanksgiving. Just add an A to the end.
What is the Yama?
That's correct. Look at you. Good God. For 400, while these bloodthirsty creatures of the night have seen a surge in popularity in the last several decades in books, television, and cinema, they have roots in the Jewish faith and folklore as well.
Who are Draculas? Vampires.
Thank you.
Draculas.
For 500. Named as one of the princes of hell and a manifestation of one of the seven deadly sins, sometimes it's envy and other times it's gluttony. I guess it depends on how he's feeling. This demon of both the Christian and Jewish faiths is mentioned in the song Bohemian Rhapsody in the lines, "Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Blank has a devil put aside for me."
Who is Beelzebub?
That's correct. Look at you go. You did great. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.